Kissy. Good evening, welcome everybody. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to new people. We are going to continue Halachas of Memareach, Memachek. Let me rephrase that. Memachek is the Av Melacha. Memachek was what in the Mishkan? They took the hides. Well, let's back up before that. The Mishkan had, where was the leather in the Mishkan? Where was the hides used in the Mishkan?
The ceiling.
Aros Elim, Adamim, Aros Hashem. So those hides had to be, before they were tanned, they had to be gotten rid of all the hairs that were coming out of them, so you had to smooth off or scrape off those hairs. That was Mimareach. Sorry, that was Mimachek, that's Av Melach and Mimachek. And we saw that therefore you can't sandpaper things, you can't smooth things out. We saw a fascinating discussion of Shach Ben Hamudim, if you remember that story. The Gemara talks about the problem of smoothing out between the columns, which Rashi said was when you have a window, you sort of smooth out the area between the two columns of the window so you can have a nice sitting space, a nice little window bench, right? On the windowsill. And the Ramban said absolutely totally unrelated, nothing to do with that, but rather you have two columns, each one holding up a leather hide, and you're scraping between those two columns. That was the Av Melacha. Then we talked about the Tolda, which is also Doraisa, of course, but it's not what was done in Mishkan. It was similar, same point, but not the same action. Therefore, it's only Tolda, and that's Mimareach. Mimareach is stuff that is more nogea to us. Mimareach is smoothing. So we talked about smoothing out things last week, and we mentioned that the only thing that's prohibited is to actually smooth a cream or an ointment or whatever else you're smoothing in a way that you're trying to make it smooth. If something ends up getting smooth, we'll talk about that in a moment, but when we talk about creams and ointments, there's nothing wrong with applying ointments or creams. The problem is only smoothing. So you could put it on, you could blob it on, you could squeeze it out of a tube, you could scoop it out of a tub, you could put it on a Band-Aid, you could put it on a gauze pad, you could put it on a wound, you could put the stuff on a wound and then put the gauze pad or the Band-Aid on top and it will just squeeze down to, and it will end up getting, you know, smushed all around, because there you're just getting it smushed around, you're not actually smoothing anything out. Again, smoothing has to be a motion of not just applying, but spreading it or smoothing it. We also saw, when it came specifically to diapering with Destin or with some other anti-irritation cream, that the Shmuel Shalaskochatz explained that even though the solution was to blob some cream on the baby's bottom, and then if you put on a diaper, everything will get, you know, spread around. So isn't going to happen that it will get smoothed out, and should it end up being that it got smooth even though that wasn't your intention? That's a psikresha, right? So Shmuel Shalaskochatz said, since A, it's doing it not directly, because you're just sort of blobbing it on and the diaper is doing the rest of the work and the movement of the baby. And secondly, your intention is nothing more than to get it all the places that it has to go. Your intention is not to smooth it so it's an even, you don't really care how even the application is. That's not your goal. You just want it all over the place. And thirdly, for a tinok who has a halacha, the cholish, she'ein bo sakana, all those things put together permit us to allow diapering a baby with desitin or with cream. And therefore, whenever we have an application for chola she'ein bo sakana, we will be permitted to, the case I gave last week was, let's say a person needs that cream on their hands, they need some antibiotic cream, they could, let's say, have a glove, put their hand in a glove filled with the whatever the ointment is, and therefore be again kila achayad for chola she'ein bo sakana, and your intention is not to make it uniformly spread out, your intention is just to get the ointment everywhere it needs to go, and that would be mutter. We also pointed out that, of course, you have to keep in mind whenever you talk about ointments that just like there's a halacha of refuah in terms of ingesting pills and medicines, the person has to be sufficiently ill, meaning halachically chola she'ein bo sakana, which is not tonight's shir. So that same level of illness is going to apply for applying creams and lotions. Even when we're going to say you're going to do it indirectly or you just blob it on, of course, if it's a medicinal cream, you have to have that level of chola she'en bo sakana, which again will be another shir, not for tonight. Accordingly, hand cream, we're getting to that time of the year. Thank God we've been very lucky so far. It hasn't been too freezing yet. But you cannot spread hand cream, not no chapstick, no Vaseline on lips. Then we got two lipstick. Lipstick will be the same issue of mimareach, and that's going to be, even if it's clear, again, there's lipstick has one aspect of tzoveya, coloring, which is seems to be an explicit Shulchan Aruch, where he says that you can't, the Shulchan Aruch says that a woman can't put srak al paneha, whatever kind of decoration on her face, mishum tzoveya. And separate and aside from tzoveya, the coloring aspect, which might not apply to gloss or some clear kind of application, there's a separate and independent issue with the smearing on, which lipstick definitely is memareh. We also finished up with something like stick deodorant, where there's also smearing application, and you apply it in a smooth way, and it's smoothing off the top of the stick, the deodorant stick. That will be a problem, but deodorant, theoretically, deodorant is not a problem. Therefore, deodorant in an aerosol can is mutter to spray on Shabbos and Yom Tov, as long as, of course, it's not on the clothing. That's a separate issue. That's an issue of being molded reach in clothing and cleaning clothing. That's a separate issue. That was all last week. That's all review. Let's talk about some new things this week and things that are very halachamais, things that I always wondered about, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to find a little bit about them. What I want to talk about tonight, for the first half of the shiur or so, is soap. Now, there's different kinds of soap. There's soap in a bar form, there's soap liquid soap, there's liquid detergent, and there's the soap of the 1800s, which was none of those. So, let's start with bar soap. Bar soap is the simplest and easiest to assume that it should be asir. Why? Well, it's not so simple, but let's assume that as you rub the bar, it's similar to a stick deodorant, that you're smoothing out the bar of soap. Let's assume that that would be a problem of maybe you're smoothing out the bumps on the bar, or perhaps we could say, no, it's not talking about the bar, it's talking about getting some kind of application onto your body. I'm not sure which one, but either way, bars are definitely going to be a problem of memach. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav Vav 2:26 that you're not allowed to wash your hands with salt. Does anybody wash their hands with salt? Anybody know why that should work?
It's an abrasive.
It's abrasive. It's definitely abrasive. So let's say if you have like gook on your hand, like you're oily, whatever. So if you use something to like rub it off.
Yeah.
Like the soaps that have those little crystals or whatever those little things are.
Scrubs,
thank you. Okay, great. So we now understand the Shulchan Aruch. Thank you. V'kol shekem, this is the key line. B'borit. Borit, I think, is it lye or is it potash or something, some chemical you could Google translate it while you're listening to me. Borit. You could type it in. Shekor, that they call in, I don't know if it's Yiddish, because it's the Ramah talking in Krakow in the 1500s. I assume that they spoke Yiddish in Krakow in the 1500s. Zeif Bla. Now, I don't know if it's Zeif. I don't think it's Zeif Bla. I think Zeif Be Lashon Ashkenaz in German. So it's either German or Yiddish, so I'm assuming it's not Zeif Bla, it's Zeif Be Lashon Ashkenaz. Be Lamed Aleph, not Bla, but Be Lashon Ashkenaz, either Yiddish or German. So we're talking about Zeif. So what is Zeif? What is this boris that they used to wash their hands with in Krakow? And all the posts can talk about it wasn't just Krakow in the 1500s, it was also the 16th, 17th, even up to the mid-18th. I did a little step work on history of soaps, and you could do a PhD dissertation in history of anything in the world you ever wanted to. But the way soap worked in the, let's say, early modern period, pre-industrial revolution, right after the industrial revolution, let's say 16th, 1700s, there was a consistency to soap that is not as hard as the soap bars that we have, but it's more thick, more viscous than a thick soft soap that we're familiar with. Like when you go to a nice, you know, when you get a nice bottle of soap, Dove soft soap or whatever, the soft soap brand actually. Much thicker than that, but thinner than a bar. It was sort of like fat in solid form. So if you, it was mushy, but it held together. It wasn't the liquid. Like soft soap, if you pump soft soap, it will drip. It will go up a tube. You'll pump it down, it'll drip. It will make a little puddle, and eventually it will slowly, you know, it'll retain its viscosity of sorts, but it will still slowly dissipate. This was a blob, but it wasn't a hard blob. It was a soft blob. That's what Zeif, that's the soap that they used for a few hundred years in Europe before the modern period. Now, assume he's talking about this, again, this medium level type of consistency, which again, it is a solid. It does not take the shape of its container. So, right, what we learned about chemistry in ninth grade, 10th grade, liquids take the shape of their container. It's not a liquid. But at the same time, if you would touch it, it would be like a little flabby. It would wiggle around. That was Zeif. And similarly, says the Ramah, if you have chelev, if you have fats that you sort of rub onto your hands, I don't know if they wanted to use it as moisturizer, or maybe, I can't imagine it cleaned your hands, because usually we use soaps to get the fat off our hands, so maybe it was a moisturizer. That, the Ramah says, it's aser. And this could be an issue, says the Ramah, of nolad. Nolad, who's talking about nolad? What are you making born? You're not making anything come to life. So Mishabura explains that we have a halacha in, I think it's in the Sefer Beitza, if not in Shabbos, that you're not allowed to take ice and chop it down to make it into a liquid. That's called risa. The rasek means to chop. But chop, not just to dice something into a small piece like onions, which we talked about a few weeks ago, but here chopping to make it to go out of solid form to liquid form, to actively, intentionally change the form of a substance. That's an iser derabanan called nola. So therefore, if you're going to take this semi-solid, let's call this zeif, this soap of the 16th, 1700s, let's call it a semi-solid. If you're going to take this semi-solid and rinse your hands with it and turn it into a lather and liquefy it, that's going to be nola, which is something that we haven't mentioned yet. That's the first point. And then the Mishabur continues and says, look, such and such a place where it says that it was our boris, that was the word I used before, I looked at it, it's lye, L-Y-E, and I actually tried to research lye soap, and you can, if you want a recipe, you can actually learn how to make lye soap, L-Y-E soap, but it's dangerous, so don't kill yourself doing it, and don't say I didn't warn you, but there is a soap that you can make out of lye, he says Mishabur, that will also be mimachek, just like we are familiar with a certain, which we'll see in a moment, with smoothing out wax. The Mishnah, which we'll see in a little while, will talk about smoothing wax to, let's say, plug up a hole in a barrel. That's, let's say, a barrel got a hole in it, so you take some wax and you stuff it up with some wax. Well, similarly, this soap, which is sort of a semi-solid, as you rub it around, besides the fact that you're liquefying it, that you're changing it from a semi-solid to a lather, to a liquid, which is an OLED issue, separate and aside from that, you have the memache, the smoothing issue of either rubbing it down or rubbing it on your hands. Again, I'm not sure which way the issue is going. That will be a problem of memache. So that's what we have in the Shulchan Aruch as far as so. So if we stop there, we definitely have put beyond the pale of permissibility bar soap. Soap from the 1700s is also not okay. If any of you come into Zeif in your travels, that leaves us with anything below a semi-solid, meaning solids are aser, semi-solids are aser. What about liquids? But before we get to liquid soap and soft soap, which we'll talk about soon, let's talk about oil. Why do we want to talk about oil? Because oil is explicitly discussed in the Mishnayos and Shabbos, whether one could anoint their bodies and rub and massage oil onto their bodies on Shabbos. So here we have a Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, 111 Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, let me give you the context. The Mishnah is not talking about the halachas of smoothing things, not talking about the machik, it's talking about health, keeping healthy and taking care of your body. And there it says, if somebody has a toothache, so who knows what you do when you have a toothache? Tooth infection, what?
You take Tylenol.
You take Tylenol, yes, that is, that's the, yeah, that's not gonna, that's just a band-aid, that's not gonna get rid of the infection. What do you do?
Baking soda.
What?
Baking soda.
Baking soda? I never heard that.
Salt
water. It's the most disgusting thing in the world. Warm salt water, right? Have you done that?
Yeah.
Is it not the most disgusting thing in the world? Yes, it is. That's what you take Tylenol. It's less disgusting. Yes. So you gurgle salt water. I think it might just be for infections. I don't know if it's for also other teeth pains, but certainly teeth infections. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So the Mishnah, let's assume it was written about 1800 years ago, says Hachoshish Bashir, somebody has a toothache, should not swallow vinegar. I guess that's pretty much the same as gargling salt water, vinegar, salt water, somewhat similar. But listen to this creativity. Are you allowed to have, let's say, some cucumbers in a vinaigrette? That's totally fine. So you could be metabel, like from four classes of the Manishtana on, you know, Lel Pesach, metabel, tabu, balo, mashka, dipping, anachamat, bila, shnei pamim, hamachas. So you are allowed to just be metabel, you know, dip your cucumbers or whatever else you're eating in chometz, the same vinegar, and, you know, it will obviously get to heal your toothache, you know, just indirectly. If you end up getting healed, it's wonderful, you get healed. Similarly, let's say a person has some kind of stomach ache. I guess the solution in the time of the Mishnah was that they would massage onto the stomach some kind of yayin or chometz, wine or vinegar. So it says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because again, these are both issues of refuah. If you're going to gargle because you have a toothache, if you're going to gargle vinegar because of a toothache, if you're going to massage your stomach with wine or vinegar because of your stomach ache, that will not be okay because that's clearly doing something that people only do for health and medicinal purposes. However, with oil, you are allowed to rub your stomach, even though you have a stomach ache. Why? Because everybody rubs their stomach with oil, even if they don't have stomach aches. Let's just extract what we need from here. If you are involved in activity that the only way people do this activity is for medicinal purposes, you can't do it if you have a headache, or a toothache, or a stomach ache. But if you do an action that some people do it for medicinal purposes, some people just do it for regular purposes. Let's say you have a sore throat. Are you allowed to drink tea?
Yeah.
Why? Isn't that refuah? You don't want to do refuah on Shabbos unless you're sick enough that you need to. You're allowed to. Why are you allowed to drink tea on Shabbos? If you have a sore throat. Is it medicinal? The answer is this Mishnah. If it's something that's done only for medicinal purposes, if people only drank tea when they had sore throats, it would be usher to drink tea on Shabbos, if you have a sore throat. But if you don't have a sore throat, it's fine. Or even if you have a sore throat, but you're drinking tea, which everybody drinks tea, sometimes when they have sore throats, sometimes when they just want something hot to drink, sometimes when they just want to, I don't know, have a social drink, so then you're allowed to drink tea. What we see from this mission, I'll take a question in a minute, is that it's normal. Not only is it normal for people to anoint themselves and to rub oil on their bodies all week long and on Shabbos, but even if you're doing it for medicinal purposes, you're still allowed to. Well, I don't really care for the purpose of our shiur tonight anything about medicinal purposes or how much pain you're in, or what your stomach needs to massage oil or not for medicinal purposes. The point is that you're allowed to massage oil onto your body on Shabbos. So you could take oil and rub it into your body on Shabbos. That's an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah is only discussing what happens if there's something that is medicinal and rubbing oil is not medicinal, because people rub oil for all kinds of reasons. So if it's just medicinal, and something that people only do for medicinal purposes, that you can't do, you cannot do. But if you just want to rub oil, everyone rubs oil. Therefore, you're allowed to rub oil on your body on Shabbos. No ifs, ands, or buts. Clear in the Mishnah. Let's stop here for a moment. Yeah.
That's related. I don't know if you want to take a question.
Okay.
But, and I don't know if you discussed it already, but isn't refuah, doesn't it come from toping?
Yes.
So why is it that certain things that are completely not related to toping are considered?
Yeah, so we'll talk about that when we talk about refuah. Let's not discuss that now.
And how do you...
When you're talking about rubbing oil, is it just like anywhere, like on your
anywhere on your body? You can take oil. You have. We'll get there. But let me answer your question. Let me answer your question in a minute.
Okay.
It's going to be important. Yeah.
Do all of these apply to, like, for example, let's say someone never drinks tea except when they're sick.
You ask a great question. Let's say people drink tea. Let's say there's a person who never drinks tea. They're not British. They only drink tea when they're sick. So would that person be prohibited to drink tea when he or she has a sore throat? I don't know the answer. It's hard to imagine that that would be awesome, though, because it's not a reported thing in this area.
Because this person
is. I hear that. I don't know the answer, but I just don't know what I'm not sure. Okay, one more minute, and then we'll get to a very important discussion. Further, one more. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the case we just talked about, and says that a place where people rub oil, even when it's not for medicinal purposes, you're permitted to rub oil. Says the Ramah, this is what's going to be important for us. In a place where the thing is not to anoint yourselves, if not for medicinal purposes, then it will be prohibited to rub oil. Meaning, if we live in a place where people don't just put oils on their bodies. So let's assume for now, just for the mistake, maybe it's not correct, but let's assume people don't just put oil on their body for no reason. Unless they have some kind that we'll see in a minute, some examples where we might want to put oils on our bodies for medicinal purposes. Then it would be awesome. So let's think for a second. If I have chapped lips on Shabbos. A few weeks from now, let's say winter's here, we have a super dry apartment with our high, the heating is on, and it's going to be super dry in our apartment. You're going to go outside, it's going to be 70 degrees below zero, you're going to be freezing, and your lips are going to get chapped. So Shabbos, we know we can't use chapstick, and let's assume Vaseline is an ointment. We can't use Vaseline, we cannot use chapstick. What can we use on Shabbos? I can use oil on Shabbos to take a little oil. Think of it as lip gloss. I can use a little bit of oil and prevent my lips from being chapped. However, I must be careful. What happens if I already have chapped lips? Then, if we assume that people in New York or Washington Heights don't really just put oils in their body for no reason, they only put oils in their body for medicinal purposes, then putting the oil would be for what purpose? A refuah, meaning you already have a sickness, not really a sickness, it's whatever we'll call it, a malady, chapped lips. And let's say nobody puts on oil other than for medicinal purposes, then it'll be prohibited to put oil on your lips. Before you have chapped lips, you're doing it as preventative. That's not refuah. There's no halacha refuah. Refuah doesn't apply. Halachas of refuah do not apply if it's just preventative, if you're feeling fine. So therefore, we will always and everywhere be able to put oil on our lips if they are not chapped. If they are chapped, then we have to figure out what is Washington Heights. Is Washington Heights a place where we only put oil on our bodies run for medicinal purposes? Then it's awesome. That's refuah. If, on the other hand, we put oil on our bodies in Washington Heights all the time, even for non-medicinal purposes, then it will be mutter to put on oil even for our chapped lips, because people do it for non-medicinal purposes as well. Yes?
What if it's not for medicinal purposes either? Meaning, like, no one puts oil on their lips ever. So now you're dealing with something that is for medicinal purposes, but no one does.
I think that would still be a problem. If you're doing something that you're doing for medicinal purposes, and it would only be done for medicinal purposes, that would be us, sir. If no one ever does it for medicinal purposes either, if you're doing it for medicinal purposes, then I'm not sure about it.
So what if you're dealing with something that's like an oil consistency, like one of those liquid lip glosses? So would that be something that people don't use for medicinal purposes, but you use regularly?
1000% winter. Liquid lip gloss, I'm not familiar with the viscosity.
It's liquid, like
if it's a liquid, so oils for non-medicinal purposes, that's exactly what we're learning from this mission. It's mutter lechatchila 100%. As long as we're not getting into color. Once you get into color, that will be a question of Tzavaya. And maybe next week we'll talk about, you know, what they call Shabbos lipstick. Shandy, not this Shandy.
Yeah.
Shandy Cosmetics has Shabbos lipstick. I did my research. So that will talk about the coloring aspect. If it is a problem, if it's not a problem, that's another discussion. But in terms of putting oil on your body for non-medicinal purposes, mutar l'chatchila. Yes.
Maybe this question for
our
topic. The question, if clear lip gloss is okay, is clear mascara okay?
I don't know.
But that's not oil. That'd be a different consistency, though. Would it be just oil?
I'm glad that I don't get hit
on this. I didn't even know it's clear mascara either.
Why
are
you always putting oil as opposed to ointments, not smoothies?
Excellent question. Let's work backwards. I have in front of me a Mishnah that says you can take oil, and as long as there's no medicinal reason, I'm allowed to rub it anywhere you want. So I have a Mishnah that says it's mutter. Where did I see anywhere that you're not allowed to rub ointment? Refuah? That's a refuah issue. Now I'm rubbing, now I'm moving around. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes, we saw there's a Gemara that says that you can't smooth out a bandage. So the question is talking about an ointment below the bandage or the bandage itself. But you have an explicit mission that says you're allowed to rub oil. So obviously, oil is a liquid and liquids are okay. That's what you see.
Oh,
100%. Everything I just said is only referring to liquid oil. Oils that are in liquid form. Once you get into a higher viscosity to things that are ointments and creams, that's not what we're talking about at all. That is all the isurim that we've been talking about until now. Now we switch to talk about only liquids, oils. Yeah.
Can I ask a question about bar soap?
Bar soap, yeah.
Yeah, so it's asar to use.
Right.
But someone had told me once that you can take the bar soap and put it in water, and then use the soapy water.
100%.
Can you
that
put the
fine.
Bar soap in the water on Shabbos?
Oh.
Or
bar
it has to be
soap,
before?
I think a bar should be muktzah.
Right?
I think a bar would be muktzah. So I would assume you have to put the bar soap into water before Shabbos. The soapy water, you could use, it's liquid. You could
can I use and pour it if the soap bar soap is still in there?
That's going to be a question of buses, and that's a hard question for now. Maybe mutter. Good thing to think about.
It usually just come up in like hotels on Shabbatons when that they
uh-huh.
just give you the little bar soap.
You're saying hotels where they don't have liquid soap and you want to be able to soap on Shabbos. So you make yourself a little cup. I hope not even glasses that they give you. Sorry, I drink those glasses.
It's clean, it's soap.
Clean soap. Okay. So we talked about bars, those are problems. On the opposite extreme, we say liquids and oils are totally, totally, totally fine as long as there's no cholo thing involved. Yeah.
So something like soft soap would be okay.
We're about to talk about soft soap. That's what we're doing. That's what we're about to discuss.
And then also, so you can put on the clear lip gloss if you have chapped lips and you want to relieve your lips, like the feeling of chapped.
Oh, that's a great question. Let's say, I don't know if this works, I don't know if you can kill yourself if you do this, but let's say you have chapped lips. So you're not going to put on oil to the chapped lips because that would be like a sore. So you want to put on lip gloss because, hey, lots of people put on lip gloss for non-medicinal purposes. So I want to put on this lip gloss for medicinal purposes. That sounds exactly, like it should be mutter.
That's a really helpful lips.
Because people do put it on for non-medicinal purposes. Therefore, even though your intention is medicinal, I think it's going to be mutter. I believe that would be okay. Does it work? Does lip gloss have an oily consistency? That's
it doesn't really help. I mean, I like for long term.
Okay.
It's like licking your lips, kind of.
Right.
Yes.
I feel
like
oil is
like
the same thing.
In which case,
doesn't
baby
really
oil on already chapped hands on Shabbos.
So, baby oil, if your hands are chapped, and people do put baby oil, do people put baby oil on their bodies in general? Nothing to do with medicinal purposes. Do people put oil on their hands to have smooth hands?
I do, but like I have it.
So if people have, so not for medicinal purposes. If people like, we can take a vote. Who likes putting oil, baby oil on their hands to have smooth hands? Right, moisturizers. It's like a moisturizer. But not, okay, moisturizer is somewhat medicinal in the sense that it's there to help chapped hands. So again, if it's a place where people put baby oil on their hands, for non-medicinal purposes, not because they have chapped hands, not because they have eczema, just because they want to have smooth, you know, smooth hands, smooth skin on their hands, then it will be mutter on Shabbos to put baby oil even on a hand that has eczema or chapped hands. That would be mutter. If it's a place where people don't regularly put baby oil on their hands, then it would be usur if you're doing it for a medicinal purpose. If you're not doing it for a medicinal purpose, then there's nothing wrong with smoothing oils or liquids onto any part of the body. Okay? Yeah.
Do you possibly differentiate between putting like an oily something on one's skin versus one's hair?
I did not see the discussion about applying oil to hair, but gel we'll have to talk about when we get to gel. There will be a different issue with gel. That will be the issue of srita. As you might have been able to intuit, I don't use gel too often. fine, we'll leave it at that. Okay, so let's talk about liquid soap. What we want to figure out is liquid soap like a liquid or is it like a soap? If it's like a liquid, we said liquid. It's not medicinal. No one's using soap for medicinal purposes. And even if they do, most people don't. So you're allowed to use liquid soap. Let me rephrase that. There's no medicinal issue. There's no refuah component concern with liquid soap. It's just a question of the smoothing aspect. Well, is it a liquid? In which case it's oil. You're allowed to smooth oil if you'd like. Or is it like or is the viscosity, so soft soap, let's talk, we all know the brand soft soap, right? Soft soap with a capital F, we're all familiar with that brand and that sort of viscosity. It's sort of like when you press it down, it forms a puddle, but the puddle doesn't like really, really, really disperse, it just gets a little wider, you know, it sort of stays there. So it's some medium kind of viscosity that there is a way to measure, by the way. If you look at the Starkey or Heinemann, the rubber of the Star K is very technological and scientific, and that's what he's done a lot of. He's the one who was the creator of the Shabbos oven that he worked out with major manufacturers. Even though the halacha, a lot of people don't have accepted the Shabbos mode ovens, but as far as the technology, Rabbi Heinemann is apparently the rumor is that when he was living on Yeshiva Lane many years ago, he was a guy in Kolom who just started teaching. And he didn't have money to fix his car. So apparently on Yeshiva Lane in Baltimore, he lived on the first floor, and the living room had a sort of a sliding door. So he had to fix something inside his car. But it was freezing, it was the winter. So apparently he lined the floor with like newspapers or cardboard and drove the car into his living room just because they had these sliding doors and got underneath and fixed his car and then rolled it back out. That was apparently a kind of he could fix his own cars. I was at his house for Shabbos once, and in the basement he built a little mikveh for himself to use, just in the basement, with all these little gadgets, and you can see it's very homemade. It's like you see all the gadgets and the gauges and the water pressure this and that pressure. It's fascinating. So Rav Heinemann did assign a certain viscosity. Viscosity is CP. I don't even know what the measurements are referring to, but I don't know. You could all imagine that there's things that are more viscous, mayonnaise, as opposed to soft soap. Mayonnaise is more viscous. Soft soap is viscous, but it's not as viscous as mayonnaise. If you are a chemist, or a scientist, or a food scientist, you have to be able to measure these things in numbers. There is a way to do it. I don't know how. There is a way. So he actually, I don't really care what the number is, it's going to be meaningless. I think it's something like 600, 700, I think it's CP. Small C with a big P. Anyone know what that means? Any food scientists here? No? We had two food scientists at our Shabbos lunch last week, or 2 weeks ago, so it's sort of like funny. Wow, they were sitting across from each other. When's the last time you ever met a food scientist? Anyway, I mean, people who study food science, but they're not actually scientists. So, what is the viscosity? How much viscosity? I mean, is liquid soap but viscous enough, too viscous, and therefore it's going to be like an ointment, or is it not so viscous, it's going to be more like an oil, more like a liquid, and it'll be mutter. So before we get into this discussion of liquid soap, we're actually not going to talk about, well, let me tell you a Mishnah. And with that Mishnah, we're going to discuss the halachas of liquid soap. The Mishnah Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav 146 says the following. You have a barrel, and it gets a hole in it. You're not allowed to put wax in it because that's mimareh. You're going to smooth out the wax, you're going to insert the wax, smooth it out when it plugs up the hole, it's going to get smooth, then you're going to smooth it. That's an iser, let's assume daraisa, of smoothing things out. The Gemara commenting on that Mishnah says the following. hey, that's by wax. What about by mishcha? What does mishcha mean? I ask my son this when we're learning all the time. What's Mashiach? What does Mashiach mean? If you say Savior, you're wrong.
Anointed.
Mashiach means anointed one. Somebody gets anointed, right? Mishka, if you have some that's anointing, some kind of oil, obviously, some anointing material, but you'll see that the Gemara wants to know, what happens if you plug up your hole in the barrel, not with wax, but with oil? Now let me ask you, what kind of oil do you think we're talking about? Either frozen oil or congealed oil, you know, like on a really cold winter day, sometimes that oil that your mother had in the bottom of her, you know, clod pantry for like 7 years, from Hanukkah 7 years ago, gets like a little congealed. We have to be talking about oil that's a little bit congealed.
Or for meat? Like in meat?
Yeah, yeah, very good. You have like the schmaltz or the, you know, the congealed oil from in the fridge. So we're talking about something that is oil, but it's a little bit more thick. It's thick enough, obviously, to plug up a hole. Although if it was just oil, you can't plug up a hole of a barrel with a liquid. That wouldn't really be effective. So what if you use this oil to plug up the hole, this thick oil to plug up the hole? So it's machlokas, as most other things in life. Says the Gemara, why would it be that Rav holds that it's asr? Why would it be that plugging up an oil, a barrel with oil, with this thick oil would be asr? What would you say? What should we answer? Because when I plug it up with oil, it's going to be a problem of memarech, of smoothing, like the Mishnah said. That's what I would say, that's what you would say. And if it did say that, then what would be the halacha with things like soft soap that are sort of this medium viscosity that we're not really sure of? It would be memarech. That's not what the Mishnah says. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if you use the oil to plug up the barrel, you know what you might come to do next week? You might use wax, and that would be awesome. What does that tell me? That tells me there's absolutely nothing wrong with plugging up a barrel with oil. There's no memarech involved, but you might come to do something bad next week with wax. So from this Gemara, the poskim want to see, poskim deduce, that the problem is only plugging up barrels because you might plug it up with wax next time. But the actual smoothing of something that is semi-viscous, like this hardish oil, that itself should be okay. Hold on for a minute. We'll take questions in a minute or two. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I don't know if you read the Mishnah like I just told you. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, are you allowed to wash with liquid boris? Now, I don't know what the word for soft soap was in the 19, I don't know when he wrote this, Jew. It was his first chelik of Aruch Chaim, so probably like 50, 60, 70 years ago. So Moshe Feinstein says, he's talking about liquid soap, he says, Pasha, it's obvious that it's aser, because memachik. If you use liquid soap, soft soap on Shabbos, that's obvious, Pasha, it's obvious that it's also because you're smoothing things out. And even if you have soap that's liquid like water, so maybe when he said it's Pasha, he's talking about a bar, maybe, I'm not sure. And even if you have a soap that's liquid like water, even though many people are matir that, or practice that it's mutter, doesn't seem to me that it should be mutter. Why? Because you lather it, and that could be a problem of, the lathering could be a problem of nolad, because you're changing it from a, whatever form it is, to this lather form. And additionally, there's a little bit of memachik, there's a little bit of smoothing, and therefore, we don't use liquid soap in my house, and that is the proper thing to do. B'chein ra'u l'hachmir. So it doesn't, I don't know if he's saying that it's usher, period, legamre, but Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that one should not be using liquid soaps. Because we just saw a case where we talked about something that was liquidy, we're talking about this oil, which is sort of a semi-viscous oil, it's like not a solid but not really liquid, and the Gemara says that you're not allowed to use it for, you're not allowed to smooth it, you're not allowed to use it in that barrel. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein says. If we stop here, we will not be able to be using liquid soaps on Shabbos. Now, even if you do assume like that, even if you do hold like Rav Moshe Feinstein that liquid soaps are a problem, it's clear that if you dilute it to be completely liquid, like oil or like water, that very high viscosity, that very low viscosity, something that's very liquidy, very free-flowing, that would definitely be mutter. So if you want to dilute, if you have soft soap and you dilute it before Shabbos, that would be totally fine, even according to Rav Moshe's chumra. Or you could dilute it on Shabbos. There's nothing about diluting liquids, thick liquids, to make them thinner on Shabbos. That would also be okay. Additionally, what else could you do? You could also, and this would be a trick, even if you want to be machmir for Rav Moshe, to not use soft soap, let's say you take some soft soap, you put it on your hand. There's no isser in touching the soft soap. The isser is, you know, either lathering it or rubbing it into your skin, or rubbing it onto your skin. If you take soft soap, put it on your hand, and then let the water run directly onto it, that itself is just diluting the soft soap. And you didn't yet get into any problem because what are you doing? You're going to put the soft soap on your hand. After the soft soap is on your hand, you're going to let some liquid come and dilute it. And once it's more diluted because of the water that is presently pouring on it from the tap, then you could rub it into your hands. It's already much more liquidy. So you could sort of have your cake, have your chumra, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, not use soft soap, and eat it too. And just be able to use your soft soap even though you're not using soft soap. Got that? That's all the chumra of Rav Moshe. Please hold, because we're going to talk before I leave you off. I'm going to walk out saying everybody really says you can't use soft soap, unless you do these funny things. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein is. However, the way I presented the Mishnah to you, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, and the Gemara that followed, why are you not allowed to use this oil? It didn't say because it's mimareach. It didn't say because you're smoothing this oil. It says the reason why you can't use this oil is in a very specific instance that you're going to plug up a barrel, you might come to plug up a barrel next week with wax. Which clearly is telling me that there's no problem with smoothing out the oil. It's a problem that smoothing out an oil when you're plugging up a barrel is a problem. But not just smoothing out the oil. And therefore, many poskim say, you bring a proof in this very Gemara, that say that no, the only problem is when you're plugging up a barrel, because you might do something that has nothing to do with mimareach. You might come to do mimareach next week with wax. It's not really something wrong with oil that you're going to put oil onto a barrel. There's nothing wrong with that. And therefore, they say that there's absolutely nothing wrong with thick, soft soap, mutter lechatzila. That is also the position of Rabbi Yashiv. Apparently, I saw a Sefer Orchas Shabbos. The author is Rabbi Rubin. Rabbi Rubin is the Rav of the shul where the attack was in Harnof. The Orchas Shabbos is one of, I think I mentioned it last week, where the Orchas Shabbos is one of the big hits in yeshivas learning Orchas Shabbos that came out in the past decade, and it's a fabulous Sefer. It's one of the Sefer I use consistently. So that's Rabbi Rubin, the Rav of that shul. Rabbi Rubin writes in Orchas Shabbos that we show Rabbi Yashiv a thick, soft soap, and Rabbi Yashiv says it's mutter lechatchila without any questions. And similarly, Rabbi Shechter here also said that if you use soft soap, it's fine. Shemir Shas Kilachasa seems to say that it's also mutter. And for a few reasons. First of all, as I just mentioned, what are we worried about? We're worried about the smoothing? Well, the Gemara said that the only thing that's usher about this thick oil is plugging up a hole, and you might forget yourself and use wax next week, which means there's nothing wrong with the actual smoothing of this thick oil. That's A. B, the Moshe mentioned that there's a problem of lather. Wait a second. If something is so temporary, that's not going to be a problem of nolad or molad. When we talk about something, you're creating a new state. If it doesn't stay in that state for more than a few seconds, you didn't create a new state. Molad or nolad is, molad is that you're taking something that was this viscous form and now you turn it into a lather, this like new kind of a state of existence. Yeah, what's going to happen to that lather in like 10 seconds or 20 seconds? It's going to just drip off and end up being beads of drips falling off your hands in a few seconds. That can't be molded. That can be like you're creating something new if it's not even going to stay that way. So these are the arguments against Rav Moshe. So, halacha lemaisa. Oh, let's just add one thing. What's going to be the state situation with dishwashing liquid? Well, it could be that Rav Moshe would be matmir to use dishwashing liquid and rub it onto your hands, rub it onto the pot. But let's think for a second. Most of us, how do we use dishwashing liquids? There's nothing with pouring. Pouring dish, it's not mukta. There's nothing with pouring dishwashing liquid. The problem is only wetting it, smoothing it. Well, most of us, when we wash dishes, how do we wash dishes? With or without water? With water, right? So once you have, you poured your palm olive or your joy dishwashing liquid, even if you assume like the most that you can't be rubbing viscous, semi, whatever, thick liquids. And let's assume it is thick, or it's not as thick as a soft soap, which is much thicker. But let's say there is a problem in rubbing palm olive. So if you pour palm olive in a pot or on your hands, you know what? Don't just, if you want to be mocked with emotion, don't just start rubbing it right away. Or rubbing it onto the pot, or rubbing it onto your hands. Just run the water. Once the water is running on it, then anyway it's been diluted, and it's going to be with even a point of emotion. So in my mind, this is a great chumrah to be machmer for, because it's never inconveniences us. Yes, we could be machmer for emotion. Again, there's a lot of room to be mako, and to just take soft soap and don't use any water and rub soft soap all over your skin. And if your mother does that, and your brother and your father do that at home, don't say a word, because Rav Shechter is Mako, and Rav Eliyasha is Mako, Rav Shlomo Zalman was probably Mako in Shemesh Alko Chasa. But if you want to be Mako for emotion, not to use soft soap, great. So you know what you could do? Use soft soap. And before you lather it or rub it into your hands, just run it under the water. And then lather it and rub it onto your hands. So you could have your cake, and you could have your Mako for emotion, and get clean from the soft soap because you diluted it by letting the water run on. Any questions about that? Yes?
The soap that's liquid that turns into foam, is that an issue of mullet?
Excellent question. The soap that's a liquid soap, they happen in the YU bathrooms, that you sort of press the lever on the bottom and it shoots out as a foam. So the one time that I discussed this in the past was with Rav Shechter, but I know we just heard what Rav Shechter holds. He holds that in this case, also, if something's going to be so temporary, that can never be molded. So, Rav Shechter definitely, I've asked him, years ago I asked him that question, and he said that it's also a question with whipped cream. You know the aerosol cans, and you squirt whipped cream, and you leave it there. So I actually did a test with this. It might be different between the different qualities of whipped cream that you buy. When you spray the whipped cream, and you have a little dollop, right, that's the word, dollop,
yeah,
of whipped cream, what happens to it? I'm talking about from the aerosol can. So it changed from a liquid form in the aerosol can under pressure, and now it's some kind of semi-solid. Is it going to stay in that beautiful flower shape? Or within time, it'll just sort of, dissipate and turn into a pile of white puddle. So it's the same shape. Is that molded? So some posts can say you can't use those aerosols. If you look at the Hamish of Brands, on the bottom it says, ask your rabbi about using this on Shabbos, which is just so incredible. In a good way, in a funny way, but also in a good way. It's good to ask your rabbi about all kinds of questions. It's wonderful that the marketers will put that. Also good that people have Yerushalayim, if they don't want to be machshil others, or they don't want to ruin their marketing, whatever it is. The same issue will be, so Rav Shechter said, if you have, I remember experimenting, sort of going to the YU, and outside the old base medrash, there was a sink with one of those soap dispensers. I remember putting my hand under it, and putting the soap on my hand, and watching, and looking at the clock, or not that hand, because that one was super long. So looking at the clock and seeing how many seconds it takes for the foam to sort of just turn into liquid. The one outside the YU bathrooms was not long enough to be considered molded, according to Rav Shechter. But that's what Rav Shechter holds. That's also why Rav Shechter allows you to use soft soap, because he holds that it's not going to be, even when you work up a lather, it's not going to stay. If Rav Moshe was worried about soft soap, the lather soft soap, maybe Rav Moshe would also be worried about the soap that you're referring to, that just comes out of a dispenser and a foam. So we won't know if Rav Moshe was about that. But I know Rav Shechter definitely says that it's okay to use that soap, assuming again that the foam. So check on Friday if the foam disintegrates, but what's the word? What word am I looking for?
Dissipates.
Dissolves. I don't have, okay, we'll have to find a good word. You understand what I mean. If it just, boom, it turns into a puddle, then it's not going to be moving.
I have two questions. First of all, according to Rav Moshe, if you can't use liquid soap on Shabbos, then wouldn't it be mitzvah maskufa?
Excellent question. I think since Rav Moshe holds that you could use it, the question is, if you can't use this liquid soap, that should make it mukta machmas gufo, and why would you be able to use it and dilute it? I was thinking of that. I think that maybe you're right. If you're not right, then the answer would be that because it could be usable in a way that's mutter. I have to think about that. You're saying, would Rav Moshe hold that it would be mukta machmas gufo because he holds you can't use it? I have to think about that. Like a soap would be mukta machmas gufa, which even for Sarach Gufa you would be able to use. So we have to think about that. Okay. Good question.
Also, the Christian line used Purell on Shabbos?
Purell. Okay, so Purell. Where does Purell lie in this whole thing? So there's no medicinal. It's not medicinal because it's preemptive. It's not post facto. It's not an antibiotic. If you got contaminated, then putting on Purell is not going to help you. Right? Or will it? Okay, it's preemptive, so therefore it's not a refuah. The question is just the viscosity. So based on what we're discussing, it's less viscous than an ointment, so it's not going to be as bad as ointment, clearly. The question is, will it be like soft soap? So it could be that Moshe would be machmir, and the other poskim would be mekel. It could be some Purell, might be similar to our discussion of soft soap.
Does it matter if you're not washing it off?
Yeah, it does matter, because we said that the only problem that we're dealing with here in terms of memariah is smoothing. Applying or just putting stuff on is okay. So if you want to just drop Purell on your hands and wave your hands around and let it get all around, or just put, again, if you do Purell and you're not paying for it, you just go to just put it all over your hand and use half the container on your hand, get it all over, and then just fling it off. That should be totally fine. The issue is only going to be rubbing it. If it is an issue, which Rav Moshe might hold it's an issue, to apply it, to smooth it, then it would only be an issue to smooth it, not to just apply. So it would be much better to just put on your hands if you want to smooth it. Any other questions? So let's finish off with just one very small detail. And next week we'll talk about toothbrushing. Toothbrushing is a lot to talk about. And there are even some products on the market that could facilitate toothbrushing on Shabbos. And we'll talk about that next week. But let's just finish off for today talking about polishing shoes and waxing shoes. I know it's not the kind of thing we're going to do because it just doesn't seem like the right thing to do on Shabbos. But how is shoe polish going to fit in with everything we've been discussing? So before we get into the issue of Mimareach, what issue do we also have to deal with when it comes to polishing shoes? So then, you're blackening it, even though it's already black, or green, or pink, or yellow, or white, or whatever other color shoes you might have. Even though it is already that color, you're still adding more to that color. That could be a concern with Zaveya. But the Mishabura actually talks about shoe polish, and I'll read you the words, because it's cool. V'tzachtzeach min alayim. Tzichtzuch is to brush, right? Tzichtzuch shinayim, brushing teeth. So you're going to brush your shoes al yidei hamiruach shachor with a polish that's black. Parentheses shekorin that we call vixen, waxing. That's just cute. Okay, so using shoe wax, shoe polish, says the Mishnah Berurah. Not only is it asur, but even if a goy did it for you on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to benefit from it. That's how asur it is. So we're talking about definitive, unquestionable iser to take shoe polish or shoe wax and rub it on. That would be classic mimareach. You're smoothing something out. You want it to have a smooth consistency. Now, what happens if, let's say, this could be, sometimes you, if you know how to polish shoes properly, you take the wax or the polish, you apply it, and then later on, it doesn't have to be immediately, sometimes you want to let it sit a little bit, later on, or let's say Friday night, you're in a rush Friday afternoon, you put the polish on, you want to let it sit a little, you forgot about it, you went to shower, you went to fix the chowder pot and do your aluminum foil and your blech and everything else, and now Friday night you sit down after Lucky Seiros, oops, I never, rubbed the shoes. So is that going to be a problem if you already applied the polish? Well, if you rub the shoes, that will also be a problem, because the whole purpose of the rubbing and the shining it with just, again, I'm not talking about applying any liquid or any wax. The rubbing itself makes the mishcha, makes the cream, the wax, sort of smoothed out, and that's what makes it shine. That will also be a problem. So halacha maisa, we're not, of course, allowed to polish shoes on Shabbos, even to just shine them without polish. But let's say your shoes get a little bit dusty. Let's say you take out a pair of shoes that you haven't worn in a long time, and they got a little dusty. So you are allowed to wipe it off very gently, in a way that you're not smoothing anything out. You're just removing, lifting off the dust from it. You could use your hand. You could use a napkin. That would be totally, I think even a wet hand would probably be okay on the leather shoes, not fabric shoes, but leather shoes, to just take the dust and remove the dust so that it won't be dusty. Be'ezus Hashem, next week we will talk about toothbrushes, and we will hopefully talk a little bit more about various specific cosmetic things. So the three more things we have to talk about: toothbrushing, a little bit more about cosmetics, and then we're going to have to talk about memorech by food. So it's going to be smoothing out the tuna fish platters, smoothing out the egg salad and the hummus plates. That we'll have to talk about either next week or the following week. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful week.